Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance need the cover of October skies.
You know, what's up? Everybody, welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz hanging out with you. And my, reminds me of Zippity Doodah, Zippity A. My oh my, what a wonderful day. Are these guys nuts? They're pushing this market up like it'll never go down again. You know, hey, as you know, I have a bearish sentiment, but I'm certainly not getting involved in this. I have been continuing to beat the drum of being, you know, observing, being on the sidelines, more on the conservative side of the world right now, because again, I don't see any real purpose to be involved here. You know, this looks like to me like the setup of all time. Now, again, I'm in a little collusion, but this seems to me like one of the biggest setups of all time. It just, the logic behind any movement we get here, especially what we saw on Tuesday and Wednesday. I mean, are you kidding me? We're going to go up 3% in a couple of days? Now, again, it could happen, but it's like on mirrors. We are now in the world of smoke and mirrors. But what is the real message that we're getting here? Okay, if you look at it, you'd have to assume that the real message is that the street, which would be Wall Street, or, you know, the traders, the investors, they don't believe that the Fed is going to raise rates. Because if they did believe it, then they wouldn't be going straight up like this. So it's interesting when you watch market action and you see what's going on, because now we have a market that's basically out of control, the upside. Now, if you remember yesterday, we did some education. And if you look and you remember what I talked about, what you see now is you see a market that's really what? Still in consolidation. Okay. All we did over the last 2 days of the big rally was rotate from the bottom to the top of consolidation. All we did was rotate to the top to the bottom in the volatility index. So at the end, we went nowhere. At the end, here we are sitting, you know, with nowhere to go. And, you know, on Monday night, on my call, I said, you know, most likely, if you're going to do anything, you're going to buy. I said, I'm not buying, but the market is appears to be ready to go higher. And it did. Now, again, I'm not taking any credit for it because I didn't make any money on it. But at the end of the day, again, we're really just stuck in this wild, ridiculous pattern of crap that I believe, which I have said for the last couple of weeks, that we're seeing greed play out right now. And what I mean by greed is, you know, money is very cheap. So if you have a brokerage account, you know, you can leverage up, you know, 2-to-1 or 4-to-1. And, you know, so all of a sudden, I think people are starting to step up here and make up for all the money they didn't make over the last 7 years in this market, because everybody's going, oh my God, we're not ever going to go down. Because look at all the economic data. Look at what's going on, and the markets won't go down. Okay. And I go, okay, you know, great. And again, you can't step in and fade or sell this market. I mean, if you're trying to short the market on any scale of size, okay, then you're making a huge mistake. You might be right, but unless you have unlimited funds to do that with, it's really not worth the risk that you have to take. You know, I mean, Stanley Druckenmiller, he can do it. He's got plenty of money. Warren Buffett can buy because he's got plenty of money. But for the average guy, we don't have the kind of money that it takes to be able to withstand a market move against us. You know, even Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns ran out of money because of the leverage. And if you happen to catch the movie The Big Short, okay, they almost went broke, even though the market was going their way, but because of the way the markets were marking things, they almost got leveraged out. And that is always the key problem. So although I do believe that the markets will go lower, I also know that I can't pick the top. I know that I don't have enough money to withstand a major move. So the best way to do is wait, because really what will happen, if this is indeed coming near a top, you'll see a market that'll, you know, probably explode through, maybe make new highs, and then collapse. But then during the collapse, there will be rallies. You know, everybody forgets that in 2008 and 2009, there were some unbelievable, ungodly rallies that just went like forever. I mean, you know, I tell the story. I don't know if I've told it here before, but I don't care. It's fun. It's a funny story. I was short the market, okay, and I was going in for surgery. And I looked at my phone before they put me out, and the market was up 1,000. And I go, should I cover? I go, well, I'm not covering. Maybe I'll drop. Maybe I won't have to worry about it. And by the time I got out of surgery, the market was down. So, again, that's the kind of volatility we'd like to see anyways. But the real truth is that will be the clear indication of when it's time to sell, is when we get that kind of action. Right now, if you sell it here, and I have, I mean, a couple of times, but if you really sell it here, you're really just trying to guess or pick the top of the market. And if you've ever tried it, it's pretty much a fruitless effort, right? I mean, you know, you're going to be right eventually, but, you know, do you have enough money to be right? And so back to my original thought. So I think it's just a lot of greed trying to accumulate assets here and trying to make up for lost time. You know, markets are built and driven by the opportunity of, or by the emotion of human beings. And right now, people are upset that they missed, you know, let's call it the free money train. You know, the best investing opportunity in our time. Okay, all you do is step in and buy it when everybody was puking. Okay, and so what I think is you're seeing a lot of that money now come flying back in because it's tired of sitting on the sidelines. You know, patience is a very tough thing to have, especially when it comes to money, especially when you see people making it and you're not. So people do get a little bit greedy. They do happen to tend to step in. And so I think that might be a little combination of what you're seeing. I mean, it certainly is not the economic data. Okay. I hope we can all agree that the overall economy sucks. Okay. And really what has happened here is that the Federal Reserve, in their own special way of being garbage, decided to dump everybody into the stock market. If you want yield, then they want you in the stock market. Okay. And of course, that's a fallacy, number one. And I'm going to cover more of that when we come back from the break, because there's something that really irks my ass, okay, when I hear things on air. And of course, I'm on air, but you'll never hear me say those things. But I think the Fed, in their own special way, is really created the bubble, which they always do. I mean, you know, that's what they do. They create bubbles. And I think what you saw here was just a market that's pushing higher, and it's really pushing higher on error. But again, I can't tell it not to go up. So you're just seeing this phony market that's being built on nothing. Okay, but people are chasing it in because you have to have buyers. If you want the market to go up, buyers have to step in and sellers have to step away, which I think is what you're seeing. But we'll talk about more of that when we come back from the break. But remember, my friends at Thinkorswim, every day they have swim lessons from 11:30 to 1 Eastern time. Tomorrow, they've got when to buy or sell vertical spreads. They've got technically speaking every day from 1 to 1:30. And they've got the plunge weekly sessions 1:30 to 2:30, Eastern time. So check them out. Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders. It is one of the platforms that I use. And I can also help you there if you need help on with the commissions. You can just shoot me an email. But at the end of the day, if you miss a show, you got to go to libertytalk.fm. That's my station. Okay. And that's where my show is at. And I want you to be part of the over 225,000 people that are downloading it, that and the Sporting Edge. But in the meantime, I'm going to step out of here for a break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I will be back after the break with more The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out, and you know, I got to tell you, you know, I hate the Fed, right? You know, I think they're worthless. And I didn't always think that. It just grew on me over all these years of pounding. It grew on me. But here's what really irks me. This is one of the major factors that really get underneath my skin. Okay. Now, I hear it every day on all the major networks. And it's something that, I mean, it makes me want to throw a brick through the TV set. Okay. But they go, well, the stock market is yielding more than the 10-year note. And I go, false, not true, BS. And everybody looks at me like I'm wacko. And I go, now, so let's walk through the example so everybody understands, okay, what they're saying. Because I don't want anybody, especially my guys, my peeps, to be drawn in to something that is A, not true, okay, because it's not, and B, that could eventually cause you trouble because you're trying to chase yield, especially my friends that are elderly or that are fixed income. You can't afford to make this mistake. So, yes, right now, the S&P 500 does out-yield the 10-year note, okay? However, if you take a 10-year note, okay, and you spend the $100,000, okay, you get 1.5% or whatever the rate is, okay, and at the end of 10 years, you will get back your $100,000 plus the interest, okay? Real simple. I mean, we won't get anything fancy. Now, if you take that same $100,000 and put it in the stock market, and let's say the S&P 500 now is yielding, let's say 4%. Well, the one problem with that is that there is no guarantee that your $100,000 will be worth $100,000 10 years from now. Now, it might be worth $500,000, okay? However, the chance does exist that it could be worth $20,000. Now, again, I would venture to say that if you put $100,000 in the market today, 10 years from now, it will be worth more than you put in. But what are you going to do, okay, and how are you going to feel if you've taken all of your money and put it into the S&P 500, and 2 years from now, you know, I finally get proven right and the market breaks, and your $100,000 now looks like $20,000, and your yield has gone up because the yield is based on the price of the stock versus what they pay and, you know, a few other things. But you're, let's just say you're getting 5%, but you're getting 5% on your position, but your net worth is dropped by 80%. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but that's the fallacy of saying that the S&P 500 out-yields the 10-year. It can and it will over time, but can you withstand the pressure when the market does break? Will you be able to sit back and relax when there's a problem? And so the truth, and there's no guarantee, right? I mean, you could, if you bought just the indexes, they're 3% yield, basically. They're not going out of business, so you'd get 3%. But if we go back to, I mean, let's say we go back to the low of 08, the spiders, which are $209 or $10 today, in 2008, they were 64, okay? So if you can take that pressure and not worry about it, then by all means, the market is the place for you. But if you are going to get, if you're going to choke on that, okay, which I wouldn't blame you, then it's not. So the 10-year is steady, it's safe, and it's guaranteed from the full faith and credit of the United States government, okay? So, but that is something that you have to decide for yourself, okay? But again, remember, it's not as simple as the TV commentators make it, because there is no guaranteed yield, okay? We know what the dividend is, but what if they start cutting dividends? Okay, that's another issue. Again, the 10-year, the value of the 10-year will go up and down, but if you hold it to maturity, then you get paid in full, okay? So don't get yourself caught in something that you're not quite sure or understanding. Make sure that you understand what you're getting into when you do it. And that's the words of wisdom from Bubba today. is don't get trapped by the BS that's being spewed on TV. Because the other thing that's getting up my goat, yesterday, I'm driving into the city, and I hear the oil inventories report. And there was a draw, or a bill, I don't remember, draw. It was bullish report. And one of the commenters said, oh, it's going through 50 now. And, of course, I immediately got on my phone and sold it, because when people start telling me that's going to happen, I know that they're wrong, in at least the short term. And, of course, it did drop. And but my point is simple, okay? The oil market and the stock market are not related, okay? There are some correlations because there are oil stocks in it. But wasn't the oil market just the market that was too expensive and it was causing great grief? And now it's not. See, this is how, excuse me, this is how the story of Wall Street continues to change and evolve, because depending on what drives news today is what commentators will tell you what's important. At the end of the day, it's the technical indicators that you find. You find a market now. We have a market that's in a perfect pattern. I urge you, if you've never done so before, pick up a chart. Pick up a three-month chart of the spiders, the diamonds, and look at that pattern. You will see what is a definition of perfect consolidation, which for a trader is the most challenging part of trading that you can ever imagine. It is as torturous as you can possibly get, because just when you think it's going to break to the upside, the market sells off, and just when you think it's going to break down, the market rallies. And if you can correlate and look at the VIX, the VIX at the same time, you will see that the markets, okay, are in consolidation. And this is the toughest phase of any market to deal with, because the buyers and sellers keep switching sides as they rotate between the strong hands and the weak hands and rotate through the market. So it makes it very challenging. So basically, since I think March 21st or something, or now we've gone nowhere, okay? We've circulated around the mean and done absolutely nothing. So you haven't missed anything. Yeah, Apple broke out recently. You know, a few individuals, but stocks have gone down as well. But the bigger picture, the thing that we all watch, is the big markets. They have not gone anywhere. They've been strictly in this tight consolidation range, working back and forth, murdering the poor independent traders. Because, again, when you can't get a pattern, you can't get a trend, it makes it much more challenging to be involved. And that is something that, you know, I always want to make everybody understand, that markets are going to do what they're going to do. And that's why we look for technical indicators. You know, we look for good stocks of good companies, but we don't want to play them until they technically say they're playable. Because, again, the biggest thing is fundamentals are fine, but the technicals are what drive the market. Technical indicators are what give you the best clue, and they will give you the overall best drive to the market. So yes, you look for a company based on solid fundamentals, but when it comes to trading that company, you want to make sure that the technicals are on your side, because what you'll find out is you'll find a problem. Just for example, for those who bought into Monsanto, okay, the other day, because they thought and they heard the price was going to be higher, and the deal's kind of falling apart, and, you know, Monsanto's kind of falling apart a little bit from the initial move. Again, you don't want to, you're not trying to trade the news. You're not trying to be ahead of it, because believe me, everybody else is way ahead of the curve on that. Because the way I look at it, when I get information, I'm about the 1 millionth person that gets it, because all the insiders have gotten all of it before we even sniffed it. So, you know, be careful out there. That's what we want to know is we want to make sure that we understand it and we get it. And we want to make sure that everything is in good shape and we are in good stead. Okay. So make sure you go to BubbaTrading.com and check it out. A lot of great stuff there. I do a lot of great writing. And obviously love to share information with you as well as my programs. Again, I don't sell them. I put them up there, and, you know, we do hedging and we do futures, and we teach people how to be part-time traders if they choose to do so at a very reasonable cost. But you can check that out at BubbaTrading.com. But more importantly, make sure that every day, if you don't get the show, you download it at LibertyTalk.fm, because I want you to keep listening because I have fun doing it. But go to libertytalk.fm. You can get the Bubba Show and the Sporting Edge. This is the Bubba Show Top of Horwitz. I'm going to stop by here for a break, and I'll be right back. After the break, the Bubba Show Top of Horwitz. We will be right back. Hold my hand.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Hear that whistle, it's 10 o'clock.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz and... what's up with this grain market? I got a topic on every market today. Unbelievable. If you watch the grains or if you trade them, they've been wild. I mean, it's scary at how parabolic a market can go in both sides, up and down. And, you know, it's crazy, okay, because I think that, you know, that you got to be a seller here. Hopefully my farmers and producer buddies are at least hedged, which the ones who know me are hedged, and you've emptied out those bins so we can, you know, take that risk off the table, because again, I do believe in it'll be a good year, but I do believe that we need some pretty hefty selling here now, you know, probably back down to $10 beans or a little bit lower than that. But you know, every Wednesday, not only do I do RFD TV and Market Rally Radio, but every Wednesday now I do RFD radio with Marlon Bowling. And, you know, I get to share my thoughts with RFD and that audience. And I like to share, you know, again, my whole objective of why I do what I do is to help, you know, people do better and survive and learn more about the overall market structure. Okay, and this is what I'm seeing in the grain markets, and they give me a pretty free hand to, you know, say what I want, and you know, and if you know me, you know that I only say what I believe. So I want you to check out with me. This was yesterday with Marlon Bowling, and I talk about grains, and then I talk about livestock. But I want you to check it out because again, the message that I'm sending is fairly clear of what I think. Okay, now again, it doesn't make me right. It doesn't mean I have to be right. But I think you'll find the message interesting. So let's go to Marlon Bowling at RFD Radio at his XM147, in case you're wondering. But let's go check out me with Marlon Bowling right now. Here we go.
Horowitz, he, of course, is with BubbaTrading.com there in Chicago. And welcome him to the program. All right, a little firmness overnight here, Todd, led by the soybean trade. Have you heard what's going on there?
Well, you know, Marlon, good morning. First of all, you know, the markets are, they're showing me some topping action here. They're showing me more of the squeezing of the markets, as you can see by, you know, the backwardation between, you know, July and November. I think, again, it's not, the logic behind what's going on here feels and looks more like just a squeeze here in the short term, because again, when you look at what's going on with the dollar, you look at some of the other economic factors around the world, and certainly we've shown some strength, but typically this kind of whip action, you know, yesterday we saw well, way lower prices overnight, followed by a huge rally, followed by a collapse at the close. And I think you're going to expect more of that type of action, which is actually, in my eyes, a topping action that would bring prices probably lower. I'm looking to see some lower prices here. Again, I'm still very bullish the space overall, but I do believe that we've gotten a little bit ahead of ourselves, and I think you're going to see some selling. We're starting to make, you know, lower highs on a technical basis. So taking everything in consideration, to me, this looks like just a pretty big squeeze right now.
So now, just to clarify, you're not talking that you think the top is in for the season. You're just saying maybe short term it's kind of overrunning its headlights a little bit.
Oh, no, of course. I think we have a chance. I think we have an outstanding chance for a big season. However, again, you know, in markets, you know, price is always king. And when we're trading or we're looking and we own, we have to make sure that we understand that there are times in the market that actually a lower price would actually be better. And I think for the health and the wealth and the strength of this market, a little bit of selling pressure would actually build a better foundation. What I don't want to see is we pump up here and then they just fall apart later. I think you're going to see technically if we can get some pullbacks into some key support levels, I think we'll see a much stronger market going forward, because I think all things set up for a strong market, but it will take some, a little bit of a cast iron stomach. You're going to have some action. I think there's going to be some pretty good whip. But I think, again, if you watch the key price levels, and the first one was 1040, which we saw bounce beautifully off of 1040. I think you're going to see, you know, 1020, maybe 10 bucks. But then I think you'll look for spots and you look for a big season. And that's what I'm looking for, because I am overall bullish. But I do, from a price standpoint, I need to see some lower pricing.
Sounds to me like options could be your friend this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, using them properly makes them even a better friend, because, again, you can lock in a certain price now and not lock in your cap. And that's what I always get concerned about, is when people lock their cap in too early. Because, again, I don't want to be capped off. I want to give the market every opportunity to go as high as it can go and allow me to play as well.
Exactly. All right, Todd, sit tight. I want to bring you back here in a couple of minutes and talk more about the markets. Boy, there's a lot of ground to cover, and we're talking with Todd Bubba Horwitz. He is with BubbaTrading.com. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes. Bubba Horwitz in Chicago. He's with BubbaTrading.com. Taking another look at the markets here, we covered the soybeans and the corn, but what about this wheat market here? The guys haven't had much of a chance to really do much marketing, I guess, with the new crop wheat, other than maybe a month ago. We had a bit of a rally there, but boy, it just seems like this market just continues to erode and slide away here.
Well, I don't know that it's actually eroding, but I can see your point. I mean, basically, it's in a pattern we would just call consolidation, and basically, it finds its level on the bottom side, and then it rallies, and it finds a level on the top, and basically, it's just making a what we would call sweeping consolidation, and eventually, it's going to break out, and I believe that it will break out to the upside. But, you know, again, there's no telling how long this pattern can actually last. I mean, we saw it early in the year in corn, where we were just, you know, hanging around that lower level before we popped to the upside here. It's going to be a while. But again, what I recommend is, you know, if you're in, you know, it just make sure you're hedged. But if you're a speculator, you want to buy them on the bottom and you want to try to sell them up towards the top of the range, because basically the price pattern and the markets are telling you exactly where they stand. And right now in July, we're looking at, you know, 460-ish to 490-ish. And that has really been the range. We have not been outside that range for more than a couple of seconds over the last couple of months.
Well, a lot of producers really hate to store wheat. They prefer to just haul it directly to the elevator out of the field. If that's the case, and they want to avoid having to go through the storage and all that, and to avoid storage costs at the elevator, a lot of them will just unload it at harvest time. I would assume that this is probably a decent scenario this year where they should look at maybe some call options or something. What do you think about that strategy to maintain some ownership of that grain if that's their case?
Well, I believe that, you know, obviously there's so many good ways, Marlon, to set up ownership, either if you want to store, if you want to create just a synthetic ownership, because, again, I do believe that these will also break out to the upside. When the big move finally comes, I do believe that it will be higher. Again, I go back to the entire situation of what's going on in the outside world of the dollar and all these other things that are all factors that are having a dramatic effect, yet we're being able to overcome some of it. But I think when you see it change, it will be much bigger. So I certainly would only want to own wheat down here, I would certainly not be selling it here. I think that you've got a much bigger opportunity to the upside and very little risk to the downside here.
Cattle down again yesterday, lean hogs mixed. Are you a friend or foe to the cattle and hogs now?
Actually, I'm a friend to cattle. I mean, June cattle, which comes off soon, but 118 was my target price. Even when we were back over 122, I'm a friend here. I think that you've got, again, I look at it from a risk-reward standpoint. I believe that, maybe there's a little bit more room on the downside, but certainly the upside is much bigger. And one thing we know from markets and price is that low prices will typically cure low prices. And now, we're down at these ridiculously low prices. And we've seen a lot of major panic out there, back going a couple of weeks ago and then again off of the cattle on feed report. And I think that was more of a self-fulfilling prophecy. And now I think that you're going to probably see some nice basing action. And look, I'm looking for higher prices. And in fact, myself, I stepped in and bought some live cattle yesterday myself.
What about the hogs, though?
Hogs are, very strange here. This range, we were 80 to 84, couldn't break to the upside, and now we're back under 80. I really have a neutral position here in my mind. I can't see what's going to make it drive them higher, but I can't also see what's going to push them lower. I think we have to watch the range. The one concern I have here, as we know, is that seasonally, we go back into this backwardation pattern here again until, once we get into the winter months. And that has me a little bit alarmed that we could see lower prices. We have to hold in the near here. We have to hold 76, but I really want to watch the action. I'm very noncommittal here. I think hopefully they'll stay range bound or work to the upside. But it's really hard to make a good call here because the price has been so sloppy and the action has been so sloppy.
Todd, as always, it's excellent to visit with you. You have some tremendous insights into the markets, whether it's grain or livestock. Guys, if you're out there listening, guys and gals, if you want some good marketing advice, get in touch with Todd Bubba Horwitz. He is with BubbaTrading.com. Look up that website. It's a wealth of information for you, and he'll be glad to help you out with your own market strategies as well. We'll pause for one more break.
Did he pump me up enough for you guys? But no, seriously, again, look, I'm a straight up guy. I believe what I believe, and I believe that there's better ways for my farmers and producers and equity traders and better hedging. And I urge you to check out what I do, because at the end of the day, we've all got the same common goal. We want to make money or protect what we have. So go to BubbaTrading.com and check it out. Again, I'm not selling you. I'm not telling you have to do it. I'm just telling you that if you want a better way and you're tired of the devastation and you're tired of the crooked commercials of people that are going to do things for you, then at least you'll know you're getting a straight shot with good old Bubba. In the meantime, when you miss an episode, LibertyTalk.fm is the home of the Bubba Show and the Sporting Edge. And we get about $225,000 a month now. We want to get more. I want you to be part of it. We want to make it big and great. We love it. So make sure that you go to LibertyTalk.fm. In the meantime, I'm going to step out of break. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. I'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. It's an action-packed day where I got the bitch. I get to all my favorite things, right? But really, it is always about you and what's going on. And, again, we're coming up into the Memorial Day holiday. You saw the volume today was pathetic. Tomorrow will emulate most likely a market that was like closed. I don't expect any market action. I don't expect anything to be dramatic. What I expect is nothing. Okay. Now, the problem with nothing is that markets themselves can do things that you would never expect when there's no volume. Now, we could actually punch out to the new highs. Okay. Because, again, there'll be nobody standing in its way. There'll be nobody saying, let's start to sell some here. Basically, what's going to happen tomorrow is the markets are going to go wherever they want to go, and they could be nothing. They could go down. They could go up. I mean, I don't know which way they're going to go, but I do know that it will be extra thin, and certainly if they push them higher, nobody's going to step in the way because they'll let them go up, because the guys that want to sell it would appreciate trying to sell even higher, knowing that it's going up on an air pocket or very thin volume, and the guys have bought and they're not going to chase it up. So it could be interesting. It could be nothing. But this is, you know, a holiday weekend. And it'd be hard for me to imagine, you know, a lot of times you say people don't want to go home short over a holiday weekend. But it's hard for me to imagine if there's anybody who's short left after what's going on. But I think what you really want to look at here is the overall makeup of the market and what is really driving it. You know, you've got, you know, GDP coming out tomorrow morning and, you know, we have no growth. You know, everybody agrees to at least that part of the fact that the growth is putrid. But the people that report the numbers, they can't even agree on what the actual number is, which indicates even a bigger problem overall. And when you continue to fight and listen to somebody who says it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. Well, I guess I ask you this question. In your lifetime, okay, in your investing lifetime, how many people have said to you, it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay, in the market? And, of course, the market then collapsed. Okay, how many people have hounded you to buy a stock, you know, and the pump and dumped you, and you got hurt? Okay, A, nobody, not even the Federal Reserve, can predict the market. They can manipulate it for a while, which they've done, but nobody can predict it. Okay, so, you know, they're telling you everything's okay. If you believe them, God bless. Okay, then that's great. But don't be surprised when Jericho, the walls come tumbling down, because I can make that as a guarantee. I can put my signature on that as a 100% guarantee that it will happen. I cannot tell you when. I wouldn't even try to tell you when. But I can give you a 100% guarantee that it will happen. And I can give you a pretty good guarantee that it'll happen sooner than later. And I don't mean sooner like in the next week. I mean the next major move or sustained move, I think, will be to the downside. And only because, again, we've artificially pumped up the business in the markets on nothing. Okay? I mean, would you ever have thought in your lifetime that 7 years later we'd still be hanging on every breath of first Ben Bernanke, now Janet Yellen? I hope they don't have bad breath. Okay? So, I mean, you know, you're seeing things that are illogical to a market. Now, markets can be irrational. Okay? And they can obviously be insolvent. But at the end, okay, things have to work themselves back out. Otherwise, they're not a market. And when you look at this whole deal of what's going on, what we're seeing is we're seeing a pile full of crap being brought to us as if it was prime rib or filet. And it's not. Okay? We have, in this country, so many problems that it's unbearable. And it's funny because I was sitting down on Wednesday talking with a buddy of mine down at the floor. And, he, you know, he's about my age, and his kids are all out and in school, and wanted to sell his house. Now, he lives in a very nice area, and his house should be worth a lot of money. And everybody tells me how good the housing is, but in the meantime, he couldn't sell his house unless he wanted to take a big bath on his house. And so I wonder, and I go back to, well, how is it that we're supposedly in such good shape? I mean, I couldn't sell my house today. I bought my house I live in today at the bottom of the market. Okay, I bought it in 2008 when the market was crumbling. I had to put money into it to make it big enough for my family, but in the meantime, I could not get out today at my house, and I live in a very nice area. I live at, you know, one of the top high schools in the state, education. I mean, you know, the area I live in, you have to have a minimum of 1 acre of land, and I couldn't get out. Okay? So where is it that the economy is so good? Where is it that housing is so good? I keep hearing these numbers. They keep telling them to me. But, of course, I haven't seen proof of where I live. Now, of course, I guess maybe Illinois is not a good example of that because Illinois is a screwed up city or state anyways. But you would think that, you know, somebody would want to buy a house and, you know, get some sort of a value, but they're not. And I've heard this from other areas of the country that there's problems. So you tell me what's going on. And I say that it's just a big mirage or a house of cards that once again is being perpetrated by the Federal Reserve. Now, I don't mean to beat on them all the time, but I mean, since they're basically responsible for this pile of shit that we got, okay, I have to blame them. I mean, you know, you got a record amount of debt, okay, twice as big or three times as big as the debt in 2008. Now, how's that money going to get paid back? Okay. Now, we've seen a big spike up in the financials recently in price, stock price, because their prices are already so depressed. But, you know, maybe they're signaling that there's going to be a rate increase. I mean, at the end of the day, the best thing that could ever happen is if they would raise rates, let the markets trade, and if they collapse, they collapse. Okay? Because that would be healthier for the overall economy. Because all you've done now is you've, again, allowed the rich to get richer. And I don't have a problem with that, because that's the society and the way the system works. But you've really shut down the middle class. You know, everybody's shocked that the average American can't raise $1,000 for an emergency. Well, I mean, when you've taken away their jobs and you've taken away their opportunity to make money and you are no longer lending to them, why are you surprised? When you've handcuffed everybody into a pigeonhole, why would you possibly be surprised that we can't survive or we can't raise $1,000? You know, I mean, who are they kidding with their ridiculous BS? Okay, that's why, because we don't have the opportunity, we don't have the access to money, we don't have the entrepreneurs back in vogue here. So at the end, here we are in a pile of doggy do, okay, waiting, okay, to see when the next shoe is going to drop. And waiting for a bunch of ignorant people to decide our fate that couldn't decide their own. Okay? So those are the real issues to look at. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's what we have to contend with. But that has nothing to do with trading. Okay? That's just an economy look, because the markets will do what the markets will do, and the economy will do what the economy will do. And people are always looking or searching or chasing yield. So that's what you have to watch for. That's why it goes back to what we talked about in the last segment, is technical indicators. We have to find stocks and things on a technical basis. So anyways, when you miss an episode, libertytalk.fm is your home to go. A lot of other great shows there as well. Check it out. That's Bubba's station. So make sure you go check out libertytalk.fm. You can also download the Sporting Edge. And make sure that you go check out bubbatrading.com. Okay, we've got a lot of great programs. We've now automated our hedge stuff. It's not for sale yet to the public. It's being beta tested, but it will automatically execute the hedge that I've taught. But I just want, you know, I want you to be informed. I want you to learn. Whether you buy something or not, I don't care. I'm happy to inform you and educate you in basic fashion. So go check out BubbaTrading.com. In the meantime, that'll do it for today. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be back tomorrow, even though it's a holiday weekend, but we will be back. We'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.